I thank God for this weekend. This weekend is one of the most monumentous weekend that I've ever, or you have ever, experienced in your lives. Think about it. One big, beautiful bill was passed. Think about that. Think about the repercussion it will have for us who are seniors. No tax on Social Security. And as I was driving coming here, I was saying to myself, goodness, do you know I right now at this moment have a Social Security bill that I have to pay? And I'm saying to myself, I'm wondering if they will make this law retroactive so that that will be wiped out. But let's wait and see. I don't know. But anyway, I don't owe that much. But think about the millions of seniors who will get relief from this bill. I mean, this is monumentous. It's historical. And I thank God through Jesus Christ that this one big, beautiful bill was passed. And there are many good aspects in it, regardless of what the Democrats say. I used to be, and my family, a long time Democrats, but we're no longer Democrats once we were led to the throat through our current president. Today's message deals with salvation. And as I was listening to the song that was sung earlier, where it states, light of the world, forever reign. And that light of the world, forever reign, is Jesus. But Jesus also tells us in Matthew 5:16, he says, referring to us Christians, he says, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven, or who is in heaven. Think about it. We are the light of the world. Now, the title of this message could be light of the world, or it could be pursue a life of holiness and obedience. Now, I don't know if you have thought about this or have read about this, but I have many, many years ago and often reflect on this, where Paul tells us, where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I often reflect on that particular verse where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do you think that really means? I'll explain what that means. But before I get into the message, so that you're not misguided, Paul is saying, work out your own salvation. He is not saying, work for your salvation. We who are in Christ, we already have salvation through Jesus Christ. So we don't have to work for salvation. As he says, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So over here, he's not talking about working for your salvation. He's talking about maintaining one's salvation. Now, I'll talk about how do we go about in maintaining that gift, that grace that Jesus gave us when he shed his blood at Calvary, and when we, as believers, accept him as Lord and Savior and are baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, we have that gift of salvation. This passage, which I will now read, which is Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. And it reads, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Have you ever thought about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? What it means? Think about it. Have you ever thought about this? And then Paul goes on to say in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." It is God to work out your salvation. God, through his Holy Spirit, has empowered us to make this possible. Many Christians have said to me over the years that being a Christian or maintaining a Christian way of life is very difficult. But according to Paul, it's not difficult, since we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit to empower us on this journey. See, as we are saved and we are on a journey until that day when we are taken up and to be with our Lord, we need to maintain our salvation. The Calvinists and in the Protestant faith, they teach that once saved, that you're always saved, that God does not go back on that promise of granting you salvation. But here Paul is saying, you need to work out your salvation. You can fall from grace. And we in the Christian faith teaches that, yes, you can fall from grace. Not as the Protestant or the Baptist teaches, that once you're saved, hey, you're finished. You don't have to worry about anything. Once you're saved, that's it. But that's not the case. You can fall from grace. Ask yourself the question, if you can fall from grace, why then did Paul say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Think about that. You know, as we tarry through this Christian life here on earth until we're united with God our Father through Jesus Christ in heaven, we need to maintain our salvation. So we need to work it out. Therefore, my beloved, Paul says, we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with me. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. This passage that I just read emphasizes the importance of the believers diligently working out their salvation with a focus on both individual effort and on God enabling grace through His Holy Spirit. God will enable us through His Holy Spirit to carry out this working out of our salvation. This passage highlights the need for obedience, which I will talk about, humility, and the positive influence it has on others. Using Christ's example, using Christ's humility and sacrifice. The passage also teaches on the concept of Christian unity and rejoicing. Now, to begin with obedience, working out your own salvation, which is in verse 2 of Philippians 2. Excuse me, I said verse 2. That should be verse 12, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for salvation. As I said, Paul himself tells us in Ephesians 8:9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, let anyone should boast. Work out doesn't mean earn. We cannot earn salvation. It is a free gift from God. The phrase emphasizes the application of one's faith, not the attainment of it. God's grace is a gift. Fear and trembling. When you hear the word fear and trembling, and as I was coming up as a youth and I read this, it put chills in my body when I hear fear and trembling. But fear and trembling doesn't mean that we fear God. Fear and trembling implies reverence. We give reverence to God. It implies a deep respect for God's grace and humility to God. That's what reverence implies. It's a holy acceptance that God is God, and what he says, and what he does is always right. So fearing God simply means we give him
the holy reverence that he deserves. We respect him for what he has done for us at Calvary. So, in working for our salvation, we need to be obedient. Obedient to the things that we are taught, things that we are taught in Bible studies, things that we are taught when we're reading the Holy Scriptures. And Paul goes on to say that we should do this with all humility. And he goes on to tell us, he says, do all things without grumbling. As we tarry this journey here on earth and working out our salvation, we should do it without complaining, without grumbling, without murmuring, complaining and disputing. 1 Peter 4:9 tells us, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So on this journey that we're on, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we should not grumble as some of us do, as some have said to me, that the Christian life is a very difficult life to carry out. But God, through his enabling Holy Spirit, makes it possible. We should be like-minded, and lowly-mindedness in conformity to the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we tarry this journey, this Christian journey on earth, we should do all things in humility, the same as Christ was humble. Christ says in Matthew 11:29, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Christ is telling us that this journey doesn't have to be difficult. We can lean on him and learn from him, for he is lonely and humble at heart. Now, while we are on this journey and being positive, this should have a positive influence on unbelievers or those around us. And I like what Jesus says, you know, to have a positive influence on others. And I read it before where it says, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And I just love that particular verse. And that is one verse that I know verbatim, know by heart. From I was yay tall from being in Sunday school. And Jennifer, teaching Sunday school, you probably have taught that to the kids as well. Am I correct? Yes, yes. So as we tarry this journey of being a Christian, let it have a positive influence on those around us. We should become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in a crooked generation, that you may shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life. The word of life, as Jesus says, my word is spirit. And that Holy Spirit, holding on to the word of life, which is the Spirit of God, will help us through this journey. As Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. But I go and send another helper, whom the Father has promised, who is the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things and call to remembrance all things that I have taught you. So on this journey, we're not alone. Remember, as we accept Jesus Christ at baptism and we receive his Holy Spirit, that indwelling Spirit is there within us. All we need to do is call upon him to help us through this Christian walk of life here on earth. As Paul says in verse 15, we should become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, that you may shine as light among the unbelievers. And they will know that we are Christians for the love that we have for each other. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We need to show love among ourselves so that others will have a positive influence from us. Continuing, and to conclude, Paul states, and this is important, Paul is in prison when he wrote this particular epistle to the Philippians. And he says, if I am being poured out as a drink offering for my services to you, for your faith, rejoice with me. Paul worked diligently. He established the church at Philippi, and he's saying that he wants them to rejoice with him. And he's saying, which comes from the Old Testament, drink offering, to be poured out as a drink offering, which simply means he's talking about the end, his end of life, or the conclusion of his ministry. And he's saying to the Philippians, rejoice with me, be happy with me, that I have not tarried or worked in vain, that at the coming of the Lord, we will all rejoice. And he says, if he's being poured out as a drink offering, which is an allusion to the offering of wine that had accompanied every sacrifice under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, when a sacrifice was being carried out, at the end of that sacrifice, wine is poured out. And you can check this out in Numbers 15. 1 through 16, wine is being poured out as a completion. An offering was not complete until the drink of offering was given. Here Paul is using this terminology to show that his ministry is over. And he says to the Christians in this letter, in this epistle, he's in jail. So he wrote a letter to them and says, guys, I'm happy. You have salvation. Maintain it. Work it out with fear and trembling. And remember, he says, you're not alone in this journey. For God is the one who enables you through his Holy Spirit to walk on this journey. So being a Christian and living a Christian life is not difficult if we call upon His Holy Spirit. As some Christian says to me, "Oh, Brother Virgil, being a Christian, it's very difficult. You have to do this." Yeah, that's true. But we have that enabling power of the Holy Spirit to help us through this journey. May God bless you all with this message. Amen.